And there are heat waves across the country, and that means the unthinkable. Parents forgetting their children in sweltering cars. So far this year, there have been 28 confirmed heat stroke deaths of kids in cars. Texas Public Radio's Bonnie Petrie explores how memory works and how, yes, forgetting your child could happen to you.
One day in the summer of 2015, Eric Stuyvesant was driving and talking business on the phone, and he forgot to drop his son, Michael, at daycare.
You know, I looked up and I saw the exit that I needed to get off at about a mile out, but I got engaged in a conversation and how we were going to resolve some issues, and I drove right past that exit, and I drove home.
Focused on work, he walked into the house, and he continued with his business for an hour, then 15 minutes more. Then something shook loose in his memory. Michael.
I raced out to the car, and he was in a profuse sweat. His breath was extremely labored. His blue eyes, he had the brightest blue eyes that started to turn gray and were rolling back up in his head. And I pulled him out of the car, and we ran into the house. And all I could think was to take the coldest shower possible to get as much heat out of him as possible.
By the time paramedics brought Michael to the hospital, his temperature was still 104, even after the cold shower. He would ultimately have 6 strokes, but he survived. Stuyvesant still wonders, how did I leave my child in the car? Turns out, it's pretty easy.
Attention and memory are very fragile. They all have very strong limitations. They don't work nearly as well as we think they do.
Edward Golub is a psychology professor and an expert in human memory at the University of Texas at San Antonio. He says thinking your children are too important to forget is dangerous. Most people can be distracted very easily.
So for some things, events that are dramatic, especially in the outside world, such as a very loud sound, that will capture your attention no problem. But if you're focused on something else, something that's more subtle, and you throw in a little bit of stress into the mix, and that can make it even less likely to remember what's most important, you know, your child is in the car.
Golub says we tend to go into autopilot and do what we've always done. So if there's a change in our routine, our brains still want to follow those well-worn paths. In Stuyvesant's case, he usually dropped Michael off at daycare before dropping his wife at work. On the day of the accident, he drove his wife to work first, and he intended to drop Michael off next, but his brain wanted to go home after leaving his wife's office, because that's what it usually did. Golub urges people to use this tendency to go on autopilot to their advantage, and to safeguard their kids by making checking for them part of a daily routine.
For example, when I put the kids in the car, I'll walk all the way around the car and just look through the windows. That serves to just imprint in my mind that the kids are in the car. And if you have that imprint in your mind, that can make it more likely to remember to take them out of the car. And then also, whenever I get out of the car, I do the same thing. I just verify that they're not there.
You can also make it a part of your routine to leave your purse, your briefcase, your lunch, or your phone in the back seat with your child, whether the kids are in the car or not. It has to be something you always do, every time you drive, for it to become part of your autopilot process. Michael's dad, Eric Stuyvesant, agrees.
Just check. Even when you think they're not there, check.
For Here and Now, I'm Bonnie Petrie.